For WRCE 107.7 News, I'm Shali Pittman. The co-chairs of the legislature's budget committee are criticizing the state health department for what they describe as a failure to maintain transparency and accountability. Joint Committee on Finance co-chairs Senator Howard Markline and Representative Mark Bourne issued a press release earlier this week. They say, according to a law signed by Governor Evers in 2021, the Department of Health Services must submit its opioid settlement paperwork to the Joint Committee on Finance for the next fiscal year. It's due April 1st of each year. DHS is more than 6 months late in submitting a plan. According to the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau, Wisconsin is scheduled to receive about $15 million in opioid settlement funds this year. Governor Tony Evers has signed two bills aimed at giving EMS departments additional tools to address recruitment and retention. One bill aims to reduce financial barriers to entry by creating a tuition reimbursement program. It also creates a live 911 pilot program, which helps dispatchers send a link via text message to a caller to connect video in an emergency. The other bill increases the amount that EMS departments can bill the state's Medicaid program for calls where responders show up but don't end up transporting a patient to the hospital. This bill also requires that an annual report is published with changes to the state and national EMS scope of practice, how those changes may impact training hours. Dane County is facing a $31 million shortfall. County Executive Melissa Agard has announced a hiring freeze and plans to reduce spending in most departments by 4%. A proposed budget amendment would cut 28 currently open Sheriff's Department positions. That's something Sheriff Calvin Barrett says is unfair to rural residents. During a press conference this week, Barrett noted that the three authors of the amendment receive their public safety services from local police departments. While his department serves all of Dane County, the supervisors making the proposal want the roughly $2.25 million saved by cutting those sheriff's positions to offset costs for other departments, including Dane County's largest department, Human Services. Kickapoo District Administrator Kim Johnson is on the job this fall after being severely injured in a traffic crash on the way to school earlier this year. She was our guest on WRCO's morning show earlier this week.
So my accident occurred in the morning of February 10th, and I spent a month in the hospital. And then they sent me home. And at that point, I still couldn't do anything. I needed a lot of help to get out of bed or to get anywhere I needed. I was stuck between a chair and a wheelchair, and have spent countless hours in both OT and PT to get to the point where I am able to walk on my own. I struggle a little bit, but a lot of everything that I lost, you know, when I think back to February 10th, it pretty much stripped me of everything. And I'm just really lucky to be here, be alive. And so there are a lot of things to be grateful for. There was a lot of pain in that journey, a lot of misery and a lot of fear. But I chose to feed all of the positives. You know, I have always known that whatever you feed grows. So it was just finding something positive in each day, some area that I could focus and make each day better. So I think back to even when that started, one of my positives was to be able to stand on my good leg for 2 minutes. Yeah. So that was something I celebrated and was excited about.
Johnson says it's been a long road to recovery, and she's grateful to all who came forward with their support.
Honestly, want to just take the time now, since there might be many listeners who were there for my journey, who supported me in one way or another, through cards and gifts and emails and Facebook messages, the number of schools that did 50-50s, my Ridge and Valley, the CESA, businesses in the area, all the families of community, my family, my friends. The list is long, and all of those actions really created in me a very positive reaction, which made my journey, that recovery, so positive, I think. So I credit all of that support and all of that love and support to all of those kind, wonderful people. So, yeah, if I have that moment right now, I just want to say thank you. All of that meant the world to me, and I really credit the doctors telling me that my recovery is going really well and going faster than what they had initially anticipated. But I have a wealth of support and prayer warriors, the number of churches that were praying for me. So, yeah, it's been a journey where I often will think, how or why did I survive that? And so I feel like there is purpose. I feel like God was not done with me yet. So I'm really trying to pay forward all that kindness and have an understanding about what my life has meaning for and how I'm supposed to contribute.
Kickapoo District Administrator Kim Johnson on WRCO's morning show Tuesday morning. Lead paint, lead dust, lead in water, they can all have detrimental effects on childhood development. Civic Media's Lisa Hale reports.
This week is National Childhood Lead Poisoning Prevention Week, dedicated to educating people about the dangers of lead poisoning, especially in small, developing children.
Lead poisoning does affect children more than adults, particularly children under 6 years of age, because their brain is developing very quickly and it can affect their brain and nervous system.
That's Winnebago County Public Health Nurse Jane Tebon.
So lead poisoning is considered an invisible disease. You don't know your child has lead. But what it can do is, again, it can hurt their brain and nervous system. And they may not show any symptoms at all, but it affects them maybe years down the road when they're in school and they have trouble focusing, learning. And that's when maybe you see some signs of the history of lead poisoning.
Children should be tested for lead exposure at 12 months and 24 months, and anyone with a home built before 1978 should have a lead risk assessment done by their local county public health office. For Civic Media, I'm Lisa Hale.
Wisconsin has thousands of dams across the state that rely on oversight to keep them up and running. Civic Media's Isabella Nieto has more.
Both private owners and state or federal officials are responsible for keeping them in tip-top shape. I spoke to Uriah Monday, the state dam safety engineer. He says the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is aware of roughly 5,000 dams that exist in the state.
Approximately 40% of the dams in the state are privately owned. The others are either publicly owned or owned by the federal government, or I should say, I guess it's all in the same batch of publicly owned.
Monday says state officials have to make sure dam owners are complying with state standards for dam safety.
In a way, we're maybe like a building inspector in a community, right? We're not constructing projects and we're not running them, but we have a role in making sure that they are done in a sound and safe manner.
Congressman Tom Tiffany has made his experience as a dam tender a central part of his campaigns. Now he's running for governor on that same experience. But what does being a dam tender really mean? Tiffany had a unique take on it.
For 29 years, I was the dam tender up on the Willow Flowage. I got paid to walk the dog every day down the dam.
Monday says dam operators, as they're now called, are the custodians of the structure.
You know, the misoperation of a dam can cause or exacerbate flooding. It might lead to further damage on the dam. In worst cases, it leads to a washout, right, a failure.
Monday also says if a dam owner is not in compliance with state laws, officials must negotiate with the owner to reach compliance. If that doesn't work, owners can face enforcement hearings or fines. For Civic Media News, I'm Isabella Nieto.
And Festival Foods is now officially owned by an out-of-state company. St. Louis-based Schnuck Markets completed the purchase of Festival Foods and Hometown Grocers this week. The combined company, known as the 1939 Group, employs more than 19,000 people. Festival Foods has stores in West Dallas and Hales Corners. Despite the change in ownership, Festival Foods and Hometown Grocers say they'll keep their names, employees, and community efforts just as before. For WRCE News, I'm Shali Pittman.
The Bucks win the opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks with a 133-120 win over the Wizards in Milwaukee. Giannis scoring 37 points, the most in his career for the first game of the season. NFL, Packers defensive end Micah Parsons named NFC Defensive Player of the Week after three sacks Sunday against the Cardinals. This week, the Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. Jordan Love asked, when's the last time he heard from Aaron Rodgers?
Now, we texted a couple weeks ago.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, we shoot each other texts every now and then. You know, a lot of it is just saying good luck throughout the season. You know, A-Rod texted me and it's great to be able to hear from him.
Aaron Rodgers with reporters in Pittsburgh.
What are your emotions heading into Sunday?
Just excited about the game. It would feel different if it was going back to Green Bay. But I have a lot of love for the organization. But, you know, if we were playing Lambeau, that would be a little different feeling for sure.
That's Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.